our primary knowledge of ourself is the awareness of being, the experience of just being. And we express this experience of just being or pure being when we say, I am. All our other experience, thoughts, images, feelings, sensations, perceptions, actions, relationships, everything we experience is added to the I am and temporarily qualifies it, or seems to qualify it. But nothing that is added to the I am is essential to it. No thought, feeling, sensation, or perception is essential to us. I am, the fact of simply being, is the one element of experience that remains continuously with us. Not really with us, it is us, it is ourself. It is the transparent, silent background to all experience and intimately pervades all experience. But because it is so quiet, so transparent, so empty, we normally overlook it. We forget ourselves. We overlook ourselves in favor of the content of experience. The content of experience is so colorful, so fascinating, so interesting, that we give our attention exclusively to it. And in doing so, forget, ignore, or overlook ourself, the fact of simply being. And with this overlooking of ourself, we lose touch with the peace that is the very nature of our being. The peace, the joy, the fulfillment that is the nature of being. And we then embark on a great search in the world for this lost peace or lost happiness. And sooner or later, when the world has failed sufficiently often to live up to its promise of happiness, we come back to our being. We return home again. Now, having discovered the essential nature of ourself, the amness of ourself, we might turn back towards the world again and ask, what is the essential nature of anything we encounter in the world, an object, a chair, a table, a tree, a car, a house, a mountain? Indeed, what is the essential nature of the world or the universe? Take a tree, for instance. Imagine a tree. What is our primary experience of the tree? What is the first thing we know about the tree? What can we say for certain about the tree? The first thing we know about the tree is that it is. Everything else we come to know about the tree is added to the it is. It is small, it is large, it is young, it is old, it is in flower, it is in leaf, and so on. Always it is, qualified by a temporary state. just as we are always I am, qualified by a temporary experience. And just as our essential knowledge of ourself is enshrined in common parlance, I am a person, I am a man, I am a woman, I am 22, I am 46, I am 73 years old, I am cold, I am tired, I am lonely, and so on. Always the same I am. Qualified by various feelings, states, actions, relationships, and so on. So, our essential knowledge of things is enshrined in common parlance. It is small, it is large, it is young, it is old, it is in flower, it is in leaf. Always the same it is. What does the it is refer to before it is qualified by any of the qualities that thought and perception confer on the object? What does it is refer to by itself? Just the fact of being. Before any object can have any qualities, size, shape, name, form, it must first be. What is the nature of that being divested of all its qualities? Every object shines with being. Every object announces being, celebrates being. What is the difference between the being that is the essential nature of the tree and the being that is the essential nature of the car, the house, the mountain, the landscape, the world, the universe? Is there one being, one package of being for every object, in which case, how small do we go? Is there one packet of being for every molecule, every atom, every proton, and so on? Or is there just being, of which everything partakes? And what is the difference between the being that we know on the as ourself on the inside, the amness of ourself, and the being that we know as the essence of things, indeed the essence of the universe, on the outside, the isness of things? It's like asking, what's the difference between the space inside this room and the space outside this room? Is the space outside this room, the actual space itself, outside this room, larger than the space inside this room? The question doesn't make sense. They are the same space. There are not two spaces there to be compared or to be divided. The space itself doesn't have any dimensions. What's the difference between the being in ourself and the being outside of ourself? That is, what's the difference between the amness of ourself and the isness of things? There's no difference. These are just the first and second person perspectives of the same being. I am is just what being says of itself when it knows itself. And it is just what we, as an apparently second person perspective says of being. If the space in this room were to refer to itself, it would refer to itself as I am. If the space in this room were to refer to the space outside, the space in the universe, it would refer to it as it is. But it's the same space. What's the difference between the being that is the essential nature of yourself and the being that is the essential nature of the person sitting next to you? It's like asking, what's the difference between the space in your kitchen and the space in your bedroom? They're the same space. There's a difference in the walls, a difference in the objects, but there's no difference in the space. There are differences in our thoughts, feelings, sensations, perceptions, activities, and so on. But there are no differences in our being. Just as there are not numerous spaces in the universe, but only one space. So in reality, there are not numerous beings, there is just being. Everyone and everything derives its selfness, its identity, from that, from being. When being is clothed in thoughts and feelings, we call it the mind. When being is clothed in sensations, we call it the body. When being is clothed in perceptions, we call it the world. But it is all the same being, and we are that. If the space in this room believes that it is in this room, that is, if the space in this room believes that it is contained within, limited to, and generated by the four walls of this room, then it will, so to speak, look out of the windows at the vast space of the universe and conceive that vast space as something other than itself. It will then start practicing meditation in order to become that vast space. Or if it is of a religious disposition, it will call that vast space God and will devote itself to God, surrender itself to God, hoping one day to be united with it. Such is our predicament. If we believe that what we essentially are is contained within, limited to, and generated by the body, and feel, as a result, that I am a temporary, finite self or being. We look out at reality through the windows of the senses, and we see the vast universe, and we conceive its reality as something other than ourself, separate from ourself. And then we undertake some spiritual practice in order to unite with that reality. Or if we are of a religious disposition, we name that reality God and we devote ourselves to God, seeking union with it. And then one day, going back to the analogy of the space in this room. One day the space in this room meets a friend, another space. And the friend says to it, look at yourself. Stop looking out of the window. Look at yourself. Know yourself. Taste yourself. Recognize yourself. You are already that. You cannot become that. There is no you other than that to become that. There is no you other than that that is not already that. Turn around, look at yourself, see yourself, know yourself, taste yourself, recognize yourself. And as a result of this encounter, the space, so to speak, turns round and just tastes itself as it is, not as it might become, but as it is. It knows itself again, it recognizes itself as the one infinite space. It's exactly the same with us. One day, either spontaneously or through reading a book or watching a video or meeting a friend, we are told, stop all your practices, turn round, know yourself as you essentially are, taste yourself, see yourself, recognize yourself. And we turn round. We go back to ourself, back to the simple experience of being. Nothing mystical or extraordinary, spiritual about it, just our ordinary, intimate, familiar experience of being. We taste it as it is, divested of all the beliefs and feelings we have superimposed on it over the years. We just taste ourselves as we are. And just as when the space in this room, going back to the analogy, when the space in this room has tasted or recognized its own nature, it looks out through the windows again and sees only itself everywhere. So we, when we have tasted or recognized the nature of our being, we look out again through the windows of the senses. And we see ourself everywhere, in everything and everyone, as everything and everyone. The one infinite being, clothed in thoughts and feelings, seems to become a self on the inside, and clothed in perceptions seems to become a world on the outside, but never actually becomes any of these, always remains itself as it is, shining in us as the amness of ourself. Shining in the world as the isness of things. The mind is a magician. It fragments and diversifies the one, making it appear as the many. Don't allow your thoughts on the inside to persuade you that you are a temporary, finite, separate self or being. And don't allow your perceptions on the outside to persuade you that there are objects, others, and a world as such. See through the veneer of otherness and separation that thought and perception confer on reality. see through. The apparent multiplicity and diversity of objects and others to the one infinite reality that lies behind and manifests itself as all that we know and experience.